Of course, it's Easter weekend coming up, and we are super excited. It's a time where you can invite your family and friends to hear the gospel, and people are more open to getting an invite on Easter. So make the most of the opportunity. Don't close your eyes and your ears to the opportunity. God's going to give you those opportunities. You're going to see people. You're going to know God wants me to invite this person. I encourage you to do that. And we've been saying pray for one person at 1 o'clock every day for 1 minute, and you linking hands with our intercessory prayer team. And just so you guys know, last week we got incredible news about our next step in extending the capacity of this auditorium. So I'm hoping by just after Easter to share with you the plan. It will be an 8-week plan, and we'll be able to add pretty much another 300 seats comfortably and into the auditorium. And what we will coach you guys, because we're going to end up changing some service times and that. It's going to allow us to grow more, allow us to worship more, create more space for worship, more space for connection, really be part of our vision, more space for encounter. So I'm super excited. I really believe at Tableview Year, we're about to step into an incredible season. For me, this is a place of dreaming now. So even I was in Joburg last week, and on Tuesday night, I got back super late. And I actually dreamt that I came back. I was preaching today, and we were halfway there already on the construction. So when I came on Wednesday to the staff meetings, I was like, what have you guys been doing? Like, you know what I mean? I had a dream, and now, anyway, you guys are killing it now. But even as I worship, I can just see this auditorium extension finished. I'm super excited. You know, I'm very excited. And of course, we've seen growth this year of up to 30% at Tableview on last year. Last week at Malkbos, it was 52% bigger than the same Sunday the previous year. Camp space growing. And so we're positioning ourselves to reach more people. But the way we're positioning it is we're actually going to do it in a healthier way. That's why it's a strategic, healthy way. We've prayed about it. We've had a sense from God for over a year on this step. And so I believe this next season, we will be healthier than we've ever been. We'll have more people in view groups. We're going to have way more encounter, way more relationship. We are going to step into a great season. So come on, lean in, invite your family and friends. I am super excited. In John 10 verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." We've been looking at the book of John, and John, of course, shares stories, encounters Jesus had, miracles, and they really are this invitation to see who Jesus is and the life that he wants to give us. One of the great miracles Jesus did was feeding 5,000 people. Well, it's really the count of feeding 5,000 families, because they count people, they count families, they count the man, and the man would represent the family. And it says, the count says 5,000 men. And in those days, you'd normally have about 5 to 6 children, and you'd have your wife. So if you look at this account, it's really the count of feeding 30,000 people plus minus, more like plus. But it says this in John 6 verse 1. "Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore on the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd, coming toward him, he said to Philip, 'Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?' He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 'It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite.'" I think that's it. He had his calculations wrong. I think it would take way more to feed 30,000 people than half a year's wages. "Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. 'Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?' Jesus said, 'Have the people sit down.' There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. about 5,000 men were there. And of course, like I said, the men represent a whole family. That's how they counted in those days. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets and the pieces with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Of course, we see many miracles in the book of John. We see that Jesus turns water into wine. We see that Jesus heals people. And as you look into it, you see that Jesus is our true Savior. In the water to wine story, that the ceremonial jugs that they tried to use to cleanse them would never actually do the job, but Jesus was actually going to do the new work. In this story, we not only see that Jesus is the bread of life. Even as you hunger after physical things, he's gonna satisfy that spiritual hunger. But we see that Jesus also invites us to be part of what he wants to do in this world. That he's actually calling us to be part of distributing the food, the bread of life, the message of the gospel. And as he does it, what we think is a little, God will do much with what we think is a little. What is this sermon going to lead to today? What is the scripture I'm reading this morning going to lead to? Well, if you would see that God's inviting you to also share what he's given you, God will do the miraculous. Of course, Jesus gave the bread and fish to the disciples to share it and to share it with the people. And I'm going to encourage you that God's calling you to share the miracles he's done in your life, the gospel, the life change with other people in this season. And we always need to remember that even as the disciples saw the crowd, because the other accounts in a way show that the disciples were going, what are we going to do? Like, how are we going to feed all these people? And even the calculations of more than a half a year's worth of wages, they were overwhelmed. I want to encourage you, even as you see family members who are really going through hard times, marriages going through hard times, don't be intimidated by the need, but see that God is calling you to be part of the solution. And you don't even have to be intimidated by how big the problem is. You just need to be faithful with what God's asking you to do. You and I need to expect God to move when need shows up at our door. So I don't know if you've ever been in a church service where the guys preached way too long. Hopefully this morning's not one of them. But I've been in many. I grew up Apostolic, Old Apostolic Church. They knew how to preach long sermons. I started praying for the guy. Please, God, let this guy come to an end, lose his notes in Jesus' name. It's only prayers I prayed when I was young at church. They kept me by Sunday school after the church service. Like I told you, the only question I ever had was, are we done yet? Anyway, so we joke with staff who preach too long. I remember growing up and Graham and Jason used to preach sometimes up to 70 minutes. Like we used to congratulate them. You've broken a new record. Well done. Longest message ever. Have you ever been to a church where everyone wants to preach? Hey? Like, you know, I've got another word. I've got everyone. Like, you know, it's like that movie where like they try to outdo each other with the speeches. I can't remember the two ladies, but it's like everyone's trying to preach. And I reckon the disciples at that point, Jesus had preached great messages. They would have said, Jesus, this is a great sermon series you're doing, but do you see the sun setting and all these people are going to be hungry? Shouldn't we send them off somewhere? I remember the other day, Dieter preached over 60 minutes. We won't let him forget that. But then my wife did the same thing, I think at Camps Bay. So I'll let you know you are blessed with me today. I think my record's pretty good. But they would have actually been with Jesus and heard incredible messages. But this crowd of 30,000 people would have been intimidating. If you study towns of those days, The biggest towns are normally about 40,000 people. So this is 3/4 of the town. This would have been one of the biggest crowds Jesus would have been ministering to. And yes, they were physically hungry, but the reason they were staying is because Jesus was feeding their spiritual hunger. But there was still a physical need right in front of them. And what we see at the front end of this miracle is a pre-miracle. And I need you to understand that, yes, there are three parts to the miracle. There's a pre-miracle, then there's the faith step part of the miracle, and then it's the actual miracle. But the miracle has to get started. So they found a young boy with some food. And what's amazing is that as this young boy is willing, the pre-miracle starts. God begins to use us just with what we have. He's not asking you to be anyone else. He's not asking you to give what you don't have. God's asking you to bring what you have. And that's how a miracle gets set in motion. The boy gave it willingly. Yes, God does the supernatural, but our part is the natural. We're going to have to take a natural step. We're going to have to be available in the natural so that God can add His super to it. See, if you put what you have in God's hands, He can make a lot out of a little. And this boy puts the fish and the loaves in his hands. It's so easy to let what we cannot do keep us from doing what we can. And we're living in a world that's totally distracted, and we are not doing what we can do because we are declaring what cannot happen. And yes, you're right. You can't multiply fish and loaves, but you can offer it. I'm not asking you today to do a miracle. I'm asking you to set one in motion by being available, just like the young boy was available. Of course, is there some impossible task that you believe God wants you to do? Don't let your estimate of what can't be done keep you from taking on the tasks or the task. Of course, they did some research and they say, and the mere act of calculation normally reduces compassion, and it also reduces miracles. Sometimes we are so fixated on the end result, we miss the first step. And God, all God needs is just the availability. And maybe you are trusting that your marriage will be whole again. And you're saying, God, make my marriage whole. Feed the 5,000. And once you do it, God, I'll know that you're God. But all God's asked you to do is make your spouse some coffee. Yeah, but have you seen what they're so irritating right now? It's like, oh, you just make some coffee. See what I do with the coffee. God, I remember when we got married and we used to kiss all the time. Well, just give him one peck on the cheek. Yeah, but I'm irritated with him. Everyone wants the 5,000, but they don't want to do the offer of fish and loaves. Every one of you can set a miracle in motion. God, I've got so much disconnect at work. Well, when you go to work with a good attitude tomorrow, yeah, I'll do it when they change. No, I want to do a miracle in your workplace. Change your attitude. Because you don't have to always go, well, what I'm going to do stuff depending on what they do. No, you've got a chance to be responsible for yourself. If you would bring what you can do, then God can do what only He can do. Will you let God set a miracle in motion? The boy gave what little he had, and it made all the difference. If we offer nothing to God, He'll have nothing to use. A seed of nothing leads to a season of nothing. Really, the only control you might have over your future is the seed that you have in your hand today. Because whatever you sow today, you can reap tomorrow. If you're not enjoying what you're reaping, change your future by what you're going to sow today. The boy sowed lunch. The boy sowed what seemed little and it led to much. It was the pre-miracle, but it did set the miracle in motion. So there's a lot of things we can do in life, but there's one thing we should never do, and that is nothing. The day you start doing nothing, because you've done all the calculations. I know where this ends. I know where the country ends. Oh, there's war coming. Some of us are looking at all the circumstances. They say people look at the clouds and the winds and that, sow nothing. Because they always go, when the time's right, I'll sow something. You'll reap nothing. The time is now. Make yourself available to God. That's all you need to do in this moment. God's not asking you to be anyone else. One of the reasons a lot of people are unhappy is because they aren't doing anything to help anyone else. The more we do nothing, the more we're going to have nothing good happening in our life. And God actually created us to love Him, all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We were designed to serve God and serve people. We were designed to be outward looking. But the calculations make you inward. Those disciples had traveled with Jesus many times. They've done the preaching tour. You're telling me they didn't bring extra lunch? You're telling me they said, Jesus won't preach long today. They knew Jesus' preaching timeline. He preached till the sunset. But only a little boy became available. I encourage you to stay available. Don't let all your experience make you that person who's never available. Yeah, but Andre, you don't understand. I know so much. Don't let all your experience cause you to harden your heart. You must never think you are too young or old to be of service to Him. Please, don't sort of put all those barriers in place. Come on, have you ever heard of somebody, a young person, exuberant, say, and then I gave this to God. And you go, yeah, they just haven't got experience like me, hey? I wouldn't have done that. That's just over the dangerous place. That's when we stop missing out on miracles. We need to stay in a childlike faith. Just available to God. I'm going to give you four practical things I want to encourage you to do. Can I have the worship team up? Number one, give what you have to Jesus. It's simple as that. Give what you have to Jesus. Be available to Him. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Whatever you have, God's not asking you to be anyone else. He's just asking you to be yourself, and He's given you enough to start the miracle, to set a miracle in motion. Jesus took the simple lunch, He blessed it, and He shared it. God can bless what you give to Him. You want God to bless the things in your life and transform it and multiply it? The only way it happens is when you put it in His hands. But when you keep it in yours, that's all you've got. But when you put it in His, you've set it in the direction of a miracle. Of course, you must have heard a preacher say this, you know, a football at my feet, a soccer ball at my feet, it's not great. At Lionel Messi's feet or Ronaldo, you win trophies. A rugby ball in my hands, not great. In a Springbok's hands, 2 World Cups in a row. Fish and loaves in that young boy's packet, lunch, whatever he had it in. It's just lunch. But in Jesus' hands, it's a miracle. 30,000 people are fed. You know, it's every time I pray for the church, and we will pray, we'll have staff, we'll think about it, we'll see where things need to be unlocked, and we'll look at, we will measure it, we will be accountable, we've got a board, we are audited, we look at all of our numbers, because we have to. God wrote the book of Numbers. Yeah, anyway, bad joke, but But you actually have to be accountable. Like by law of this country, you have to set up a board. It's good. It's healthy to be accountable. And then we'll see things that need to be unlocked. And you know what? I know it. I'm just looking for somebody who's available. Because if I find one guy or girl who's available, everything else gets unlocked. I've seen it. That's really all it was for me. I was sitting in the back of the hall. There was a guy preaching. I knew God said, you're not doing all that I've called you to. I knew it. And then Paul Van Coller was my youth and young adults pastor. He walks to the back and says, God, and Paul Marinette were the first couple to go to Zambia. And now they run Ark and Hope Church. God's using them to do the miraculous. But he comes to me and says, you're not doing everything God saying you're supposed to do. I said, I know. He said, well, I said, what should I do? He said, go pray. I was like, okay. I prayed. And then God said, just give me a here. Okay, you're getting, that's a bit more than a school lunch, I know. But it actually was saying, give me a heart. Just be available, no strings attached. And I didn't realize that in that moment, just my availability would set other miracles in motion. So I still look for it. I look for guys and girls who are willing to set miracles in motion. Because I know it's just, I just need one. A lot of people go, you, this church, I'm just looking for one available person. That's all I'm looking for. I've seen it too many times. Just one available person sets the miracle in motion. And then so many other miracles come to pass. So many other things. And I need you to know it. You could be that one. Stay available. God will do the miraculous through your life. Give what you have to God. Proverbs 22 verse 9, the generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Number two, obey what he commands. Happy are those who obey the Lord, who live by his commands. Of course, since I've been 18, by God's grace, I saw my parents tithe. And when I heard about tithing, I happily tithe. I've been doing it since I was 18. Because God owns everything. He asked me for 10%. It was crazy. In the Old Testament, farmers wouldn't wait till all their crops have grown. They would give the first that grew to God, believe that the rest would be blessed. They didn't wait. See, we live in the New Testament. We get salaries and then we honor God. They gave the first and believed that the rest would be blessed. The first cough. It was just such a faith and such an honoring. God, this has not come yet, but I know that you are greater and I'll give you the first. Just honored God's commands. And it's a great joy for me to honor God. Because I know it says in Malachi, if you bring your tithes to us, God will pour out such a blessing, he'll open up the windows of heaven. And so I want to encourage you to obey his commands. And he gave them a command, just distribute it. And as they obeyed it, the miracle happened. Don't remove yourself from the miracle. The first was a pre-miracle. Now you have to live in the middle of it. You're going to have to go. Think about it. God gives them the bread and they're like, hopefully, like, you know, like you can imagine the first disciple just gave like the one, okay, there, that's just yours. Like, oh, there's more bread. Okay, that's it. And they would have become more generous as they realized that God was doing a miracle. Because then, let's face it, it was in the breaking that the miracle happened. It was in the giving. It was in the action. And so stay obedient. God is about to do a miracle. We are distributors, not manufacturers. Just keep distributing. Keep being obedient. Don't walk away from this place. But I want to remind you that spiritual maturity is not self-sufficiency. So God keeps doing the miracle, but it says his mercies are new every morning. We want like a year's supply of mercies. God, just release a year of mercy on my life. God says, my mercies are new every morning. Oh, okay. I want you to stay with me every morning. So even as they hand out the bread, I don't know if the bread, I reckon there had just been enough for the next one. And then it grew. It was like, God, we need you. God, I need you. God, God, you're faithful. God, you're good. You can do it now. You can do it again. And all of a sudden they learned about this God who is faithful. So stay obedient. God will do the miracle. Number three, protect the results. To pick up the 12 baskets. What I mean by that is protect the testimony. Share the testimony. As I hear testimonies, your faith becomes mine. And as I share the testimony, I pass my faith onto you. You need to protect this testimony because the testimonies we share become the prophecies of our future. God is good. God will feed the people. God will take care. God can heal. God can do the miraculous. You know, in the desert, the Israelites complained, you know, we have the manna, but we want meat, we want quail. And then God says to Moses, in one day, he gives him like truckloads of quail. If you read the account, like all these birds from the sky, ready to eat. You know, what's the report when you serve God? Overcast with a good chance of quail. Anyway, like, you know what I mean? Like, when you serve God, overcast with a good chance of healing, overcast with a good chance of provision, overcast with a good chance of destiny, overcast with a good chance of protection. You just need to stay obedient, protect the testimony, because you need to know you serve the God who will open up the windows of heaven over your life. He can do more than you can hope, dream, or imagine. Of course, the best way to steward a miracle is by believing God for even bigger and better miracles. That's the best way to steward a testimony. To take it and say, God, if you could do it then, you can do it again. And you could do exceedingly abundantly above what we can hope, dream, or imagine. Last thing, there is a lesson in the leftovers. There were 12 baskets. The boy would have probably had a bigger lunch that day than he had if he kept it. And there were 12 baskets and there were 12 disciples. What do we learn? You just can't outgive God. In the game of giving and generosity, you will always lose because God will always win, and He'll prove to you, you can't outgive Him. You can never outgive God. God is faithful. Luke 6 verse 38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You can't outgive God. Proverbs 11 verse 24, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I just want to give people an opportunity who want to receive Jesus as their Savior, a chance to pray. Scripture says those who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Scripture says as we confess that we're sinners, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Scripture says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. You can't work for it, but you can receive a gift. The way you receive it is you acknowledge that you need it. We humbly say, Jesus, I need you to forgive me. I need you to be my Savior. If you're in this place and you know God is, you haven't sort of given your life to Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sins. I want to give you a chance to receive Him as your Savior. You might even sense God knocking on the door of your heart. That's what Scripture says. If you've sensed that, your response is to open up that door by receiving Him as your Savior and receiving His forgiveness. If that's you, I'd love to lead you in a confession where you confess that He's the Son of God, confess that God raised Him from the dead. If that's you, why don't you give me a way of saying, include me in that prayer. I want to ask you to be my Savior. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else, just give me a wave. So that's me. I need to receive Him. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Awesome. Come on, let's pray together. Jesus, I confess that you are the Son of God. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead. I confess that I'm a sinner. Thank you that you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. I call on your name, Jesus. Save me and be the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's thank Jesus. We know it's only because of Him. Thank you, Jesus. Can I ask everyone to quickly look to their right? Yaku opened a door over there. We've got men and women prayer counselors. If you put your hand up, we'd love you to go tell someone. You pray that they can tell you about your next step. If you need any prayer, you can make your way there. I'm going to ask Brad and Andrew to quickly go through to the back. If you need to talk to Brad and Andrew, if you want to be involved in our missions project in any way, or you want more info, they're going to be there at the God Can banner and at the View Groups banner. If you are new, you can also make your way to the banner straight out the door. Get your first coffee. You can find out more info. Remember, Easter 111. Pray for one person at 1 o'clock for 1 minute. That person you're going to invite, share your invite. People are more open to invites. Easter Friday and Easter Sunday. Remember, View Kids, we got a massive party for them. They're going to learn about the cross, resurrection, and they're going to have an Easter egg hunt. They have loads of fun. So bring all your friends and family along. God bless you guys. Cheers.